I want to talk to you this morning and about the work of the Holy Spirit and the transformation that God is doing or wants to do in your lives to make sure that you walk in freedom. You know, there's absolutely nothing God cannot deliver, bring freedom to, heal, or minister to in our lives. And so we need to understand that God absolutely promotes freedom. He doesn't want Satan controlling any aspect of your life. And he comes to set us free from sin and sickness and addictions and habits and bondage and thoughts and depression, emotional issues that we go through. God wants us free. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he writes this. Paul does, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. As for you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you were followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in all those who are disobedient, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh or our natures, and following its desires and thought like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But, okay, some people just stop there, but there's a but there, very significant one. But God, because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. So the life that we have is a spiritual impartation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. You are alive in Christ because God's grace and mercy was demonstrated to us through Jesus. Now skip down with me to verse number 11. Kind of very interesting in the same chapter. Therefore remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember, okay? Think back, but don't stay back there. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. There was a time that the Gentiles were excluded from the plan of God. There was a time, even when Jesus told his disciples, I don't want you going to anybody but the Jews. I don't want you even talking to the Gentiles. I want you to take the message that I've given to you to the Jews. How many know that? Come on, you've got more life than this. You're not a bobblehead. And so we come to a place where we see inclusion now into the body of Christ. Skip down with me to verse number 17. He, meaning Christ, came and preached peace to you who were afar off, that's us, that's the Gentiles, and to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Now he defines this, the opposite of what the first definition was. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of the household built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We need to understand that through Christ and Christ alone and the Father's plan for him to come and die and rise again, that we have hope. And that hope came because God so loved the world. And you say, Pastor, why are you doing that? We know this. I know we know it. But how many of your lives have been changed by the working of the Holy Spirit setting you free? Yes. Two of you, three of you. The rest of you better get up here and get on your knees. We have been set free. Now, here's the deal. I want you to understand the freedom that you have, God wants to give to every single person in this world. The Bible says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. We need to understand that what he has done for us, he's able to do to anyone who comes. And freedom is what God wants to bring his people. But I also want to deal here for a moment before I go on and go deeper in that. How many of us sitting here still need some freedom? How many of us has partaken of freedom in one area, but there's an area of our lives where God just wants to continue to deal with? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Lay aside, get rid of whatever hinders. So as we honestly look at our lives, what hinders us from coming to the place where we know that God has absolute control over our lives and there's no area that's trying to pull us back that we're giving into? I personally believe, and you can just do whatever you want with this, I personally believe if there's something that keeps pulling us back, we need to get it broken. If there's an evil spirit, if there's an oppression, if there's a thought, if there are things that are gripping us, I'm not saying you're losing your salvation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact if there's something that's pulling us back to the old way, if there's something that is gripping us that we don't have freedom over, through Christ, we need prayer. There's oppression, there's bondage, there's things that happen to us by the enemy. He wants to get into your mind. You know that? He wants us to begin to think that we'll never make it, we'll never mount up to where we should be, we'll never be totally accepted by God, that this life is just a mess. It's not true. And we have to listen to a different voice. We need to understand that God says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, you who are feeling the bondage of the enemy. Come to me, those of you who are struggling to walk this life out because of things that happened in the past or because of addictions or because of other things. Don't run away from me. Come to me because I'm the one that can set you free. I'm the one that can give you life. I am the one that can give you hope. I'm the one that can change everything. And if there is a weakness, I'm the one that can make it strong. But we struggle. You know, this body of believers, which is usually we have a couple more people here than this, needs to understand something. And that is, we don't major in people's weaknesses, we major in their victories. We don't measure in people's flaws, we may measure in their maturity. And so because you have a weakness doesn't mean you're a reject, okay? How many's ever had a weakness? How many of you have ever breathed? How many are not talking because you're afraid pastor will mark it down? And the problem with weaknesses is sometimes we just accept them without dealing with them. And God is saying, hey, wait a minute. I want you to be made whole in me. I don't want you beating yourself up because there's a weakness. I don't want you beating yourself up because there's a problem. I don't want you beating yourself up because there's an issue. I want to take care of that issue. Do you know why? So that when he takes care of your issue, you can deal with the issues of other people. This is not about me kind of thing. This is about the kingdom of God, functioning in the kingdom of God, going out and seeing people who are absolutely tore up by meth or drugs or AIDS or whatever else they're into. Alcohol around here is pretty prevalent. And there's a lot of people who can't control the things that they're facing. God wants you to be able to go and say, in the name of Jesus, you are free. And he wants us to understand that the power of God is not limited by public opinion saying no one on meth is ever going to be free. That's a bunch of garbage. Or saying that AIDS can't be healed. I've seen it healed. I've prayed for people and seen AIDS healed. And so people with an argument can't deal with a person with an experience. I want you to understand that. When you experience Christ in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death, people don't know what to do with you. And so you come to a place where we allow God to break the bondages that Satan wants to put in us so he can take us out there to break the bondages of people who have no hope. Because there's people who are still living in the world without awareness that God wants to set them free. They don't need their drug fix every day. They need Jesus. They don't need all the medication for what AIDS has caused them. They need Jesus. They don't need a lot of other stuff. They need Christ. And when Christ comes, he comes to set us free. The Bible tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, or some of your translations will say liberty. There's a freedom in Jesus Christ. And each of us has experienced that. We know what it's about. We know where it's taking us. And we need to understand that in that freedom, we are called to bring it to other people. We are called to give it away. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And look at verse number 13. And having disarmed the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And you say, what are you talking about? He canceled our legal bondage, indebtedness, that stood against us and condemned us. He's taken away, nailing to the cross, and he's disarmed the principalities and powers. Look at me. That means in Christ, Satan has no control over you. Is that true? How many will bet your life on it? Okay. So in Christ, Satan has no control. So the control that he has over us is only, now get this, what we allow. When we open a door, he's going to come in. Well, somebody said, well, Satan keeps knocking on my door. Well, don't open it. Let him knock. And so the only thing that devil can do to us to try to destroy our lives is what we listen to him and what we agree with him and what we allow him to do. When you say no, it's no. Now look at me. You may be going through a hard time physically. You may have sickness. You may go through some physical things like my wife has gone through. And you may be looking at and saying, where is God? That's not the answer, the question you need to ask. The question that we need to ask is, God, and it's not even a question. God, I know you're going to give me enough strength to go through this. And either way, I win. There's no losers in Christ. It's like we said last week. I don't know about you, but this morning when I looked at the weather forecast, I was willing to trade Siston for heaven. And so no matter what we're going through, we don't waver. We don't start thinking about dropping out. We don't start thinking that God has failed us. We don't start thinking that things are always falling apart. We start focusing on God. We thank him for his faithfulness. We put our trust in him. We walk it out even though we don't understand why it's happening. But we don't change and allow the devil to change our perspective. We keep focused. Right after in Hebrews 12, he talked about laying aside the things that hinder us. He said, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. God is the only spiritual truth, and Satan is a liar. And if you come to understand that, it's kind of encouraging. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, if Satan tells me I'm not going to heaven, he's a liar. How many of you are putting your faith in a liar? If Satan says I'm going to die of some illness, he's a liar. Hello? Jesus said he's the father of lies. He invented them. You see, the first sin in the Bible wasn't Eve eating of the fruit. The first sin in the Bible was when the Satan questioned the authority of God to say what he said. Do you understand? Satan began by questioning the authority of God to a young lady in the garden. And his words took hold. And then she partook. And so with you, what the enemy comes to do, he wants to sow thoughts. And in those thoughts, in some point of those thoughts are lies. And at times we miss it. And the worst time is when you're tired and you've gone through a battle and when you're struggling with stuff and there's more month than money. I know none of you ever had that. But you're going through things and nothing makes sense. It just doesn't add up. And so you begin to hear some voices that you haven't heard for a while. And you know what he does? He questions God. Yeah, God really loves you and you can't even make your house payment. You know, God really loves you and your rent is back. God really loves you and you're sneezing and coughing and hacking like an old fire truck. And you know what happened? We get wore down and we get tired and what do? We quit resisting. We are in a battle, but we know who wins. Okay? We understand that we are more than conquerors and overcomers, not only in our lives, but we go and we minister to others, and through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they become more than conquerors. But if the enemy can get you to doubt your freedom, then how are we going to start believing for somebody else's? If the Son sets you free, you're what?
Free.
You shall know the truth, and the truth will what?
Free.
So it's the truth you know that brings freedom. It's your relationship with Jesus and the power of that relationship and the truth you know about Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, that you can walk in freedom every day of your life. I'm not saying you're skipping and jumping and hopping. I'm just saying you're free. Yeah. But we struggle. We struggle at times because we don't know what we are. And I'm. You say, well, you said what? People say, well, we don't know who we are. No, we don't know what we are. Can I tell you what you are? You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I want to show you. How many believe that? As a temple of a Holy Spirit, you are the dwelling place of God. And we don't get it at times. It goes over our heads, because every time there's an issue, we submit more to the issue than we do to God. But look at, go back to Ephesians 2, will you? Ephesians 2, verse 21. So how many prayed, God, where are you? Or God, did you abandon me? Or how do I find you, God? And we don't realize that the Holy Spirit of God is in us. You don't have to look up and you don't have to beg for him to come. He's already here as believers. You have an amazing life, a lot more amazing than we ever could confess, because we're not going to boast. But the Bible says if you're going to boast, boast in Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 21. Let's go back to verse 20. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ as chief cornerstone. Okay? In him, in Christ, the whole building is joined together, rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Okay, you with me so far? A holy temple. In him you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You are a dwelling, and I am a dwelling of the life of the Holy Spirit living and reigning in me. That means I don't look for God, I have him with me all the time. Boy, that was a good time to say amen.
Amen.
Man. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm just going to take a little bit of this, just one verse. Chapter 6, verse 16, okay? By the mouth of two or three witnesses, okay? I got three if you don't believe that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God.
Amen.
Does that work?
Yes.
Come on, does that work?
Yes.
Can you say, praise God, I'm a temple?
I'm a temple.
You know, you're not some obsolete building standing out in the middle of a cornfield. You are the temple of the living God, and you've been called to represent Him with the Holy Spirit leading and directing our lives and causing us to see what's going on. You say, what do you mean, see what's going on? See that religion doesn't work, that going to church is not the answer, that following the legal code doesn't do anything, but that the work of the Holy Spirit is bringing about the changes in our lives so that we can change the world.
That's right.
You are world changers. Oh, who, me? Come on. Say it with me. I can't hear you.
I
still can't hear you.
I
am
a world changer.
People make plans that have no power and no authority and not recognized by God. We take the word of God and we meet people one and one, or we meet 5,000 or 10,000 or 100,000, and the words of Christ changes people's hearts and minds. I'm a temple. And when we take hold of that, that alleviates fear. And so we understand that. Therefore, the next point doesn't have any teeth in it that slows me down. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 11. Now listen to this. So Christ himself gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers so all the people could watch them work. Is that what it says?
No.
Really? So God gave apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists so the church building is clean and taken care of and the snow is shoveled.
No.
Okay. Really, here's what it says. To equip his people for works of service or works of ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness or the pleroma of Christ. So what is going on here is Paul is telling us that the leaders of the body of Christ are given to prepare the body for ministry. Now, who's the body? We all are. Okay? Now, come back with me. If you knew that Jesus was walking right beside you everywhere you went, and he was never going to walk away from you, but you understood that wherever you went, Jesus physically stood there with you, how afraid would you be to lay hands on the sick? How afraid would you be to tell somebody Christ wants to break their bondage? How free would you be to break the power of meth and drugs? How free would you be to break the power of gambling and sin and other things going on in people's lives that's ruining them? Not at all. Therefore, because the Holy Spirit lives within us, we should not be afraid to do whatever God tells us. Amen? The Bible says the fullness of Christ. Here's what the fullness of Christ means. That the same power, the same nature, the same character, and the same ministry that Christ had except for dying on the cross is ours. You are called to do the same works and the same ministry to a degree that Christ did. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and cleanse the lepers. I haven't seen a leper that I know of. And so break the power of sickness. This is a real-time life, friends. How many of you leave your house in the morning and you say, man, what a wonderful day. I just can't wait till I see that first person I can pray with. Or do we look and say, oh God, don't let them come to my car. This is amazing. 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. What Spirit? Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of service or ministry, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good or to profit everybody. To one, there's given a spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. Okay, you have the Holy Spirit within you. I believe you have the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. What holds us back? What keeps us? Kirk was saying a while back, and I absolutely agree with him, I believe the time should come when people are coming in this building and they're so full of testimonies of people getting healed and accepting Christ and moving in the Spirit and things are happening and lives are changed and families are put back together and things are going on. And so you have to just kind of come early and say, hey, I got a word. I got a testimony. I got something to go on. Because God using you folks to do the work of the ministry. It's really about Him. Amen? And I believe that. I believe that there are so many people in the body of Christ who just need to be encouraged to take the giftings and talents that God has given you with and take them in the marketplace. Start sharing them. How many have neighbors that sometimes like you? Sometimes. Occasionally. You know, just begin talking to them. But the blessings of seeing someone excited to receive prayer is amazing. And so do this. When the devil's trying to talk to you out of everything and God lays something on your heart and you're just not going to do it, turn him off. Now listen, if God tells you to do something, he's not going to in the next voice say, you can't do it. Right? So if God encouraged you to say something, he's not going to tell you in the next minute, I don't think you should say that. So if God tells you to pray for someone, he's not going to tell you in the next moment, don't pray for anybody. You don't have any power, and who are you anyway? We have to realize who's talking and listen to that voice. Because you are a child of God. You are loved and accepted. You have purpose, and God has designed a plan for you, and he's given you an assignment, and he's laid out everything for you. Just step into it. It's great. But when I realize the Holy Spirit lives inside me, he qualifies us. And I want to tell you something. There's nobody overqualified to do the work of God. We're all in the same place. So do what God has called you to do and be what God has called you to be and walk this out, realizing that there are slaves of Satan out there who need freedom. And you will walk in that freedom. Amen.